the prophecy that his mother taught him. The king, giving credit and honor unto his mother for her influence upon his life. I thank God that I had a Christian mother. What a blessing it was to have a mom that loved the Lord and loved her family and patterned her life after the principles of God's Word. Mom's been in heaven since 1997, and I still can see her on her knees in prayer for me. I still remember those days when I was out of fellowship with God as a young man, astray from the path of righteousness. And I well remember coming in sometimes late at night, and the first things that I would hear would be my mother on her knees praying for me. I well remember the day as a little boy when she sat me on her lap and there gave me the greatest story that the world has ever known, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And my mother, burdened for my soul, shared with me the gospel of Christ. And as a little boy, I gave my heart to the Lord. I well remember her example of hard work and thrift. My mother was born in 1912. Back in those days, you didn't have a lot of the modern conveniences that we take for granted today. I can remember my mother washing clothes with an old wash basin by hand, with a tub. I can remember hanging the clothes out on the line in the backyard. I can remember the old irons before they were electric. I can remember the long hours and the hard work that my mother and father put in on behalf of our family. Looking back on it all now, I really don't remember too much of the material things that I received, such as they may have been. I guess I remember a bicycle or two that I had. I remember the first 22 that Dad bought me. I can remember a couple of things like that stand out as a kid, but I got to tell you, looking back over it all, those are not the things that stand out. The things that stand out were things like my mother's kiss. Things like looking into her eyes and hearing her say to me that she loved me. Things like watching her work around the house, cleaning the house, cooking food. I can remember coming home from school and the house would be filled with the aroma of the evening meal. I can remember the baked potatoes and the corn on the cob and the roast beef. And I'm starting to get hungry already. I remember the love that she gave to me. I remember the switch from the cherry tree. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. Here he was, the king of his country. And he's not talking about his political advisors. He's not talking about his consultants. He's not talking about his strategists. He's not giving credit and praise to the people that gave him money and financed his rise to power. As he thinks about his life and as he gives credit to those that come to his mind, it is his mother that he speaks of. The words of the king concerning the prophecy that his mother taught him. Let me tell you about what mom taught me. Well, what did mom teach the king? She taught the king in verse 3, "Give not thy strength unto women. Stay away from immoral women, my son. Stay away from them." Immorality, sexual promiscuity destroys people. And then she said the second thing she instructed her son is it's not suitable for kings to drink wine, for princes to drink strong drink. Stay away from alcohol and strong liquor. How many people have damaged not only their own lives, but their families, their friends, their future, and everything they had going for them because of drunkenness and alcoholism? How many homes have been ruined? How many people have died prematurely, either through car accidents or liver disease or heart disease, have had their lives cut short? How many people's lives have been ruined because of alcohol addiction? The mom said to the king, it's not for kings to drink wine. And these next few verses, give strong drink unto him that's ready to perish and let him drink and so forth. Verse 7, forget his poverty. That this is not a condonance of intoxication by any stretch of the imagination. The Bible never contradicts itself. If the Bible says anything clearly, it says in Ephesians, be not drunk with wine. That is a command. That is a command. Be not drunk with wine. This is not a condonance of intoxication. It's simply an acknowledgement. In the ancient world, wine was often used as a medicine. And it is still today, in smaller quantities, it can be used as a medicine for certain disorders. And the verse in the New Testament, drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy oft infirmities, is another indication of that particular thought. And that's what he's addressing here, the medicinal effect that wine and alcohol may have in small amounts for certain ailments. But as a social drink, as a drink for pleasure, the Bible is very clear. The only thing that alcohol has ever done is to bring heartache, grief, and sorrow to those who succumb to it. And then Lemuel talks about his mother. And in verse 10, he begins his discourse by asking the question, who can find a virtuous woman? Hey, that's a good question. Who can find her? A virtuous woman, a godly woman, a righteous woman. Well, what kind of a woman is this? Her price is far above rubies. Money may buy you sex, sir, but it cannot buy you a virtuous woman. You won't find her in a whorehouse. A virtuous woman is a gift of God. It is a gift that God gives to a man because of his love for God and because of the pureness and the integrity of his heart, God then gives to him a helpmeet, a soulmate, the Eve of his life. Notice what he says about her. The heart of her, and as you read through these next several verses, I want you to notice how he goes back and forth between her duties as a wife and her duties as a mother. It's back and forth. Mother, husband, child, husband, mother, wife, back and forth. And you'll see this in these next several verses. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. He is satisfied with her. She meets his need. She is to him what exactly he needs. He can trust her. You know, there are certain qualities that are absolutely essential in a marriage. Of course, love is essential, and respect is essential, and so is trust. Trust is essential. If you cannot trust her, if you cannot trust him, then you'll never have a successful relationship. It is absolutely essential that trust be part of that relationship. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. And now, verse 13, he kind of slides into the motherly part of the discussion. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth up also while it's night, giveth meat to her household. She considereth the field and buys it, and so forth. You can see that here is a woman that is not lazy by any stretch of the imagination. She works. What's the old saying? A man works from sun to sun. A woman's work is never done. And a lot of truth in that. But here she is, working day and night, all the time. She's not sitting around watching soap operas while the house is a mess and the dishes are piled up in the kitchen and the clothes are not clean. She is faithful to clean the house, to be the custodian and the Holy Spirit in the home, who is giving herself constantly to the betterment of her household, full of work and industry, selflessness. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good, or candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle. Her hands hold to the staff. She's even able, here his mother apparently made clothes for the family. The world presents women in a way that is almost cruel. The old-fashioned principles of honor and decency and integrity are never seen, and if they are, they're impugned or belittled in some way or the other. The popular idea today is that women are supposed to be sluttish. The sluttier, the more popular. Crude, vulgar speech. Vulgar jokes, vulgar attire, indecent, loud, self-willed, stubborn, obstinate, vengeful, hateful, mean-spirited. This is the image that is portrayed and magnified in our modern culture today. I don't know how much you listen. I don't listen as my wife listens to her more than I do, but I have heard her occasionally. I don't know if you ever have a chance to hear Dr. Laura Schlesinger. How many of you get a chance to hear her? Not nearly enough. You ought to catch her. You ought to listen to her. I'm not sure exactly what her... I think she's a Jew. I don't think she makes a profession of Christianity. But she has more Bible content in her counsel than the majority of preachers in America today. You ought to hear her. You ought to hear her talk to the women that call into her program, to the wives and mothers. You ought to hear her defend femininity, to defend submission as a wife to her husband, to defend the role of womanhood and the importance that is incumbent upon that relationship of a woman giving to the man his rightful place, giving him the honor of authority and headship in the home. And she talks about the strength of femininity and the strength of purity and the things that are honorable in a marriage relationship. And the importance of letting a man be a man. And she talks about what's happened in America today is these women have tried to subdue men in their marriages, and many of them have been successful. And they've made wimps out of their husbands. To the point that today in America today, we are dying for want of masculine leadership. And it's true throughout the length and breadth of our country, regardless in the church, out of the church, business world, political world, church world, military world, all across the board. The lack of masculine leadership is killing our country. And the reason for that is these women in the homes that have subdued their husbands and have killed the masculine authority in their husbands. And she talks about that every day. I marvel at her wisdom and her insight and her boldness. She says things that most preachers won't say in their own pulpits to their own church members. Strength and honor are her clothing. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household. She eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. And then Lemuel says, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Remember, he's talking about his mother. He's talking about his mother. Many have done virtuously, but mom, thou excellest them all. I saw in your relationship with dad an honorable wife. And I saw in your relationship with me and the rest of the kids an honorable mother. And I rise today, Mom, and I call you blessed. To those of you who still have your mothers alive and with you, let me tell you something. Honoring your mother is more than just giving them a card once a year on Mother's Day. It's more than taking them out to eat once a year. You are going to either honor or dishonor your mother every day of your life with the way you live, with your conduct, with your spirit, with your heart. Every day of your life, you are either going to honor her or you're going to dishonor her. You will either exalt her in your conduct, in your attitudes, in your spirit, or you will dishonor her. You will bring her to shame. The Bible talks about how disobedient, rebellious children bring their mothers to shame. How many moms have died early of a broken heart because of the ungodly conduct of a child? How many have died of a broken heart because of a wayward, unruly, selfish child? And especially if you have a Christian mom, and you are not honoring her with your life, and you've turned your back on her teaching. She's taught you the Bible. She's taught you about God. She's taught you about right and truth and honor. But you are so stubborn. You are so stubborn. You're going to do what you want to do, and it doesn't matter what your mama thinks or what God thinks or what anybody thinks. And you break her heart with your stubbornness and your sin. Let me tell you something, young person. There's a God in heaven that is watching your every step. There's a God in heaven that hears every word you speak, that knows every thought you think, that sees every ounce of pride and vainglory and stubbornness. And you will be held in contempt at the court of heaven. Honor thy mother and thy father, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. In other words, the way you treat mama, the way you honor mama, the way you honor your parents, or dishonor them, is the same way that God is going to honor or dishonor you. You're cutting your life short, young man, by the way you're treating your parents. You're cutting your life short, young woman, by the way you're treating your parents. It's a very serious thing, this matter of the way we treat our parents. How many of you have a mom in heaven? Today's kind of hard for us, isn't it? I never come to a Mother's Day without that sense of loss. I never come to this day, this time of the year, I dreamed about her last night. When both Dad and Mom passed away, one of the things that I initially thought are thoughts that I still have today. I wish I had been a better son. I wish I had spent a little more time. I wish I had been a little more thoughtful. I wish I hadn't have been so preoccupied and so busy. I wish I had redeemed the time a little better. When it came to my mother and father. And when your mom and dad are gone, young person, you're going to think the same thing. But then, it'll be too late. Favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. You only have one mom. You only have one opportunity to have God's blessing on your life and the relationships that God gives that life. King Lemuel paid tribute to his mother, and the Holy Spirit was impressed enough with this tribute that he put it into the Holy Scriptures, and here we are thousands of years later, and we are reading the tribute of King Lemuel to his mother. And years from now, our tribute to our mothers will endure. I praise my mother today. I praise the mother of my children today. And I pray that each of us will give to our mothers and our dads the honor that is due them. And we will remember the importance of the relationships that God, in His love and in His grace, has bestowed upon us.